Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, open our hearts this morning that we would understand joyful generosity. We ask that through your Spirit we will put you first and will give in accordance with what you've given us. We thank you for giving everything to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we started up the second half of our sermon series on joyful generosity. Pastor Berg preached an excellent sermon, and he told us that joyful generosity responds to the gospel. We give in response to God's love to us in Jesus Christ. And he also told us that joyful generosity prioritizes God's kingdom. Do you remember how much King David gave to that temple project from his personal treasury? $5 billion in today's money. $5 billion. Isn't that incredible? What an amazing offering, right? But I don't think many of us are in the $5 billion club. In fact, I don't think all of our salaries together would make it into the $5 billion club. In fact, some of us are actually just struggling to make ends meet. And some of us are doing okay, but we're having trouble letting go, even though we want to give to God. And some of us have plenty to give, but we're not sure how much we should give or how God asks us to give. So does God's word have any advice for us, faithful people with a wide array of salaries and situations who want to respond to the gospel? Does the Bible have any practical advice for those non-billionaires who want to prioritize God's kingdom? The answer is yes. In fact, really one verse tells us almost everything we need to know. The Apostle Paul was collecting a large offering for the congregation in Jerusalem, and he wanted the Corinthian church to participate. The church was just getting started, and the biggest church, the one in Jerusalem, had a lot of needs. And so Paul was going to collect an offering for them. And in doing so, he wrote down some of the most practical giving advice in the entire Bible. He said, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income." If you can believe it, we're going to spend the entire sermon on this single verse. And the first words that jump out at me are, "each one of you." Who was to participate in this offering? Each one. You see, giving to God isn't just for the rich and the well-off. It's for each one of us, including me, including you, including every one of us here today. God has blessed each one of us with something, and so each one of us has something to give. So how should we give? Well, here's what he says. "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money." On the first day of the week, before anything else, those Corinthian Christians were to set aside a sum of money so that Paul could collect it on his journey and return with it to Jerusalem. You know, sometimes you hear the excuse, "If I give all my money to God, I'm not going to have anything left." But did you hear what Paul said? God doesn't ask you for everything. He doesn't ask you to give him everything. It all belongs to him in the first place, right? God asks that you set aside something for him first. And that's the operative word here. God asks to be first in your heart and in your life. And that includes how you plan financially. God wants us to take care of all the things that he's given us, right? God knows we need to spend money on a lot of things, necessities. He wants us to take care of our families. He wants us to pay our bills. He wants us to save. Yes, he even wants us to buy things and enjoy our lives. But before any of that, God says, "Put me first. Put me first." You know, in the Old Testament, there's a practice that God commanded called first fruits. First fruits. And what this meant is that his Old Testament people, that they were to give him their first fruits of whatever they had. So if they had crops, that meant that the first 10% of their acreage that grew, that belonged to the Lord. Their firstborn animals would be sacrificed and burnt on his altar. Even their firstborn children, they obviously didn't sacrifice them, but God commanded that a special offering be given to redeem the firstborn in place because they belonged to God. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? Even after a long, hard winter, and those first crops come up, and they bring them to the altar to be burned, they trusted God. More would come. That was their first fruit offering. What was the point of all these offerings? Well, it's just that. They proved their trust in God. They said God first and trusted that he would give them enough. They put him first, despite what reason may have told them. They put him first because he had asked for their heart. And my friends, we prove the sincerity of our faith too when we set aside money for God first. You know, I think there's also another reason that God asks to be first. How much money do you have at the end of the pay period? Right? If we don't set aside money for God first, we know that there's a lot of other stuff we can spend our money on. I think God asks to be first too, because when we prioritize our lives in this way, we make sure that God is given his due. I think it's so easy that God first can easily become God gets what left. There's so many things that we can spend our money on. There's so many corporations that have spent billions of dollars thinking about how to advertise to us. There's so many things that come first when it comes to money. You know, what does a financial planner tell you to do? He tells you to pay yourself first. A financial planner tells you to take some money off the top and put it in your retirement account or your IRA. And they do that because study after study has shown that people don't spend money based on what is prudent, but based on the funds that are available. You live within your means, whether they're great or small. God asks to be first. This is how God asks us to give. And for us today, it might not be every week or every month, but with every blessing, we put God first. With every paycheck that gets deposited in the bank, we think to ourselves, God first. And before the bills, before the mortgage, before even the IRA, God first. You know, it's an interesting promise that we heard in our verse of the day. I'd like to read it again. God says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. God has a promise for us when we give to him. God promises that if we give to him first, we will still have enough. In fact, in many cases, more than enough. God will honor our trust in him by giving us more so that we can be even more generous. It sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Does that describe your life? Do you say with a smile, God first? Or does sometimes your heart cling to the money when it sees all the things that you need to pay for? There are a lot of things we need to pay for. The house, the car, health insurance, the kids, the clothes, unexpected bills. Our natural feeling is that we need to hold on to this money, and it needs to be our safety net. We shouldn't trust in the Lord. We should trust in having that money. It's difficult to say God first. You know, I had a professor who often talked about the tyranny of the urgent. The things that are seemingly urgent in this life often displace what's truly important. And we see it illustrated every day, right? If you don't set aside time to work out, it's not going to happen. No one's going to come knocking on your door or calling you up and asking you if you worked out. If you don't set aside some time to read God's word, your children will take every second that you allow them to. If you don't take time to work on that project or write that book or whatever it may be, it is not going to happen because it's not urgent. But if you could look back on your life, that's what you would say it was important. And the same is true. If we don't set aside money for God first, it often is so easy to use all of the funds that we have. Now, I want to say this clearly. God doesn't want us to give to the church and then let our children go hungry. Okay? If you have crippling debt, don't give to our church. Don't do it. Please. But I think for those of us who are able to give, we know the difference between what we need and what we want. I think the Apostle Paul is asking each one of us to be honest, to take a look at our 21st century American lifestyle and to realize that many of the things we pay for are far from necessities. Are you willing to sacrifice to God first? There's a story, a tragic story about what happens when God isn't put first, and it actually happened in the very first family who ever lived. In Genesis chapter 4, there's a story of Cain and Abel. It says, Cain brought some fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. What's the difference? They both brought offerings. Well, it says that Cain brought some of his crops, but Abel brought fat portions, the best stuff, from the firstborn of his flock. Both brought offerings, but God knew the difference. It wasn't about what they brought, it was about what was in their heart. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. My friends, the truth is that if you hold on to your money with hardened fists, you're not holding on to your money, it's holding on to you. If we aren't willing to put God first, then something else is controlling us. We have another God. And it could be the idol of prudence or practicality. It could be the idol of a certain status of lifestyle. It could be the idol of a big house. It even could be the idol of what our children want. We need to ask ourselves, what is controlling us? Who do we put first? Sin desires to rule over us. It desires to have us, to possess us, to control what we do. We need to put God first. Not just because he has commanded it. Not just because we know of his love, but we know that he is the only one to set us free from sin, to forgive us. He's the only master who allows us to live in freedom. And isn't it amazing that God gives to us first as well? He's the only one who does that perfectly. Remember that first fruits that I talked about in the Old Testament? God commanded they give them the first of whatever they had, even they had to have an offering for their firstborn. Well, God gave us everything. He did give us his firstborn son. Our God even before we were born, chose us and loved us. And Jesus came down and died on a cross for us. And so when I have put myself first, I need to remind myself of this love of God that was willing to sacrifice his firstborn son for me. My sin is forgiven. It is buried in Christ's tomb. And when the chains of money start to tighten around my heart, I need to remind myself, you know the grace of God. Peter, you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I know that. What do we sing in our hymn? My Jesus is my wealth. What is the world to me? Jesus is doing pretty well up there in heaven. Lord of all, King of the universe, he gave that up to become weak and poor, and he gave it all to us. We are incredibly rich in Christ Jesus. God has given us everything up front. He has put us first. And in response, the Holy Spirit allows us to put God first in our lives and to give joyfully. So I think we get this God first thing pretty well. But the other big question still remains, how much? Right? How much should we give? Well, that's addressed right here too. Paul says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. Now here's the key, in keeping with his income. God doesn't want us to compare our offerings based on monetary value. Right? God doesn't want us looking at what other people put in the plate when it passes by and feeling bad about what we give, or feeling better about what we give, for that matter. He doesn't want us to think about a specific number. He wants our heart, and he wants us to give our best in accordance with, in keeping with our income, and with how much he has given us to be stewards over. We're asked to simply give our best in proportion with what we have. You see, God is a big believer in proportional giving. In the Old Testament, God demanded, he commanded his Old Testament people to give 10%. You may have heard of that before. It's sometimes called the tithe. And it was required for God's Old Testament people. A tenth of whatever they owned belonged to the Lord, whether it be crops or animals, whatever it may be. And that was not negotiable. No, it's not the same for us today. Jesus Christ has come. It says that he fulfilled the law, that he has set it aside in its external regulations. You see, if you know, some churches still demand that 10% is given today. They demand each person to give 10% of their income. But the problem with that is that if they do that, they should also not let any of their members eat pork, and they should worship on Saturdays and keep all the festivals, right? Because those are all together in those external laws. The moral truth, however, still applies, that we are to give to God proportionally. We are to give him a percentage of our income. It's going to be different for many people based on how much we make and based on how much we're able to give. But we are to give proportionally. I have a friend in my class who's a pastor, and we were talking on the phone, and he told me about a phone call he received from a woman who said, does your church require 10%? He said, no. And she goes, okay, good, because I have a lot of other things I want to spend my money on. And she kind of said it as a joke, right? But it bothered him, right? Because the reason Jesus has set us free in the New Testament isn't so that we can give him scraps or be thankful that we don't have to give him much or sacrifice for him anymore. The truth is, God has freed us to give him our best. And for many people, that will be above 10%. And for other people, that will be below 10%. But God is not concerned about the value itself. He's concerned about having our heart and that we are giving our best in keeping with our income. And so I need to have another caveat at this point. If you don't want to give to God, then don't give any money here. Doesn't matter if you're going to give 30% of your income or 3% of your income. If it's given reluctantly or under compulsion, do not give it. The Lord wants your heart, not your money. The wonderful truth about this is that in God's way of giving, it doesn't matter how big or small your offering is, does it? The fact is that I know that God has your heart. You love Jesus. You come here week after week. You give to our church and the ministries here. I can't tell you how much to give. That would be wrong of me. But all I can tell you is to start thinking proportionally. Think about what God has given you and determine a percentage that you can set aside first for Him. And if you don't know where to start, I would suggest using that 10%. If you make $50,000 a year, 10% would be $100 a week. If you make $100,000, it'd be about $200 a week. If you make $20,000 a year, $40 a week. Maybe that you can give much more. Maybe you can give less. I'm not trying to tell you what you must give. I'm just trying to get you to think proportionally. What's my percentage right now? Does that give glory to God? Is it my best? Those are good questions. And the promise we have is what Paul writes in the second letter he wrote to the Corinthian church. He said, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. God will accept your sacrifice in proportion to what you have, not in proportion to anyone else, and not in proportion to what you don't have. King David gave $5 billion. Incredible, right? By earthly standards, unsurpassed offering. But there was once a widow who was only able to give 2 small copper coins. Others mocked her, but when Jesus saw her, he said, I tell you the truth, this woman has given more than all the others. God wants our heart most of all. It's about proportionate giving. It's about giving our best. And it's about putting God first. My friends, may God bless us through His Spirit to work in us a wonderful sense of joyful generosity always. Amen.